These were not SMOs. These were passionate about serving God. You say, Pastor, what's a SMO? A SMO is a Sunday morning only Christian. Are you a SMO?
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Pastor Brian Grant has been taking us through a series of messages taken from the book of Ephesians. Tonight's message adds a sequel. When the Apostle Paul had left off this letter to the Ephesian church, the church seemed to be in excellent shape. But 30 years later, the Apostle John wrote to this same church warning the saints they had a serious problem that, unless it was fixed, it would put them out of business. Such a message should be a wake-up call for any local body of Christ people. The letter begins with a commendation. The Spirit of Christ recognized the Ephesian church was a busy church, engaged in many good works, but this one fault threatened to bring the whole thing down. Please turn in your Bibles to Revelation 2, verses 1 through 7, and listen with us as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message, Have You Lost That Loving Feeling? Here now is Pastor Grant.
In 1964, the Righteous Brothers came out with a hit song that quickly went to become number one on the hit parade. In fact, the song was so big, it was the most played song on TV and on radio for the entire 20th century. Now, some of you may have heard it in another version, but the Righteous Brothers were the ones who first popularized that song. It's a song about love that had gone cold. Am I right about it? I think some of you know what I'm talking about. It's a song that said, you have lost that loving feeling. Whoa, that loving feeling. You have lost that loving feeling. Now it's gone, gone, gone. When the person you love has lost that loving feeling for you, boy, it hurts. Oh, some of you might have been there before, that the person lost that loving feeling, and now it's gone, gone, gone. A man came home and surprised his wife with a bunch of beautiful roses, and she was thrilled. So she, as she was smelling the roses, her husband, he whispered to her, he said, honey, there is a four-letter word that caused me to buy these roses for you. Oh, she was so excited because she had been sort of getting worried that he was losing that love and feeling. So when he said there was a four-letter word that made him buy these flowers, she was feeling relief. She said, is the word L-O-V-E? He said, no, it's S-A-L-E. It was only because it was selling for cheap. He had lost the loving feeling. And my title today is, Have You Lost That Loving Feeling? And it's my prayer today that the Spirit of God will challenge your heart and my heart, and that we will be open to what God has to say to us as he speaks to the church at Ephesus. You know, last week we ended our study on the book of Ephesus, and we ended on a triumphant note. But now, just 30 years later, and it's important that we realize that, and the Spirit of God led me to speak on this morning, as we now take a look back. The Ephesian letter is now finished, and 30 years later, the Spirit of God causes the Apostle John to write a letter to the Ephesians. And as the Spirit of God writes this letter to the Ephesians, just 30 years later, God is not pleased, and he has a major charge against the church. at Ephesus. There are three things I'd like to share with you this morning from today's text. Number one, first of all, the commendation. The commendation. Notice the Lord's commendation in verse 1 and 2 of Revelation chapter 2. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, "These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, I know your works." Let me just stop there for a moment. I know your works. The Lord knows the good things that we do. The Lord knows everything you do for him. It's important that we say that. It's important. God, as he writes to them, as he's about to charge them, he starts off by letting them know he knows everything that they're doing. And God wants you to know he knows every single thing that you're doing. You know, sometimes people are a little disappointed because the other members of the church don't seem to notice what they do. In fact, sometimes, can I be honest, there have been people who have been upset with me because as the pastor, they thought I would have noticed everything. And guess what? Just like the rest of you, I don't notice everything. But you know, I might not notice, the elders or the deacons might not notice, but you need to know that as you serve God, there's somebody more important than us who knows everything that you're doing. God in heaven knows. He says, "I know your works." May God help us to serve recognizing that he does know. But because he knows, there, as he looks on and as he tells them what he knows, he points out three specific wonderful things about the church at Ephesus. Number one, he tells them that you are a serving church. Verse number two, "I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil." He says, "I know that you are a serving church." The Greek word that's translated labor means work to the point of exhaustion. This was certainly a working church. This was a serving church. They were laboring to the point of exhaustion. They were giving ministry everything they got. These were not SMOs. These were passionate about serving God. You say, "Pastor, what's a SMO? A SMO is a Sunday morning only Christian. Are you a SMO? SMOs. But you know, in our generation, things have gotten even worse. It used to be that we pastors would be concerned about SMOs. But now we have some OSMOs. You say, "What's an OSMO?" An OSMO is an occasional Sunday morning only. Come on now. You know, even our church has some OSMOs. Some occasional Sunday morning only. My brother and sister, this is not God's way as we move forward. But hey, we even have some IOs. You say, "What's an IO?" Internet only. I praise God for the fact that there are so many people who are listening to us and watching us on the internet. But my friend, if you're one of those, and you know, sometimes I was so encouraged. Some months ago, a lady wrote to me from another state, and she said, "Pastor Brian, I've been watching on your program, on your website," and she said, "You know, I haven't been to church for over 20 years, but I'm going back to church." She said, "I've been back in church." And I tell you, she's faithful. She just wrote me this week of praising God for what we shared last Sunday. Thank God for those who watch on the internet. But if you're one of those and you're listening to me and you're watching me, that is not God's way. God says, "Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as some are in the habit of doing." And he says, so much the more as you see the day approaching, it is important that you are here. It's not because we're trying to fill up the place. It's important that you are here because there is something beneficial to you as a Christian when we come together. Iron sharpens iron. And I am suggesting to you, my friend, don't be an SMO, don't be an OSMO, and don't be an IO. Hallelujah. Be a regular person in the house of God and be one of those Christians who are serving. You see, listen. Any God-honoring church is a serving church. Every God-honoring church is a serving church. Are you active in ministry? Are you passionate about serving the Lord? Listen, this was good. We know it's good because God commended them. The Lord commended the church. They had some issues, which we'll get to in a moment, but this is not one of the issues. He commended them. He says, man, this is wonderful. You're a serving church. They're not only a serving church, they were a separated church. Because if you notice in verse number 2, he goes on to say, that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them what? Liars. This church was well founded in doctrine. They knew the doctrine. You know, it's really hard to know who is a false teacher unless you know what is the truth. Amen? That's one of the problems Christians have today. We're not grounded in the truth. So as the book of Ephesians tells us, it's very easy for us to be blown about by every wind of doctrine, because if you don't know what the truth is, you will be blown about by winds of doctrine. But not the church at Ephesus. They knew the truth, and they were testing those who claimed to be apostles, and they realized there were a lot of liars out there. Boy, I tell you, the church of Jesus Christ is being flooded today with apostles and bishops and prophets. Anybody notice it, or am I the only one noticing it? Every minute some new person is a bishop, and then some have become apostles and they're prophets. Everybody is something else.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
But you know, I've come to find out that not everyone who wears their collar backwards is really a servant of Christ. Amen? There's some fake apostles out there. And sadly, we're in a generation that believes, let the man say what he wants to say. Oh, I really don't know. He's a good man. I like him. He preaches with a lot of fire. So the fact that it might be bad fire is okay, because when I leave, I'm all revved up. No, it does matter. And so God here, as he writes to the church in Ephesus, he says, you have tested those who claim that they were apostles, and they are false, and you have regarded them as what? Liars. I'm going to say to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, you better make sure that you test those. You know, we're very careful who we put up here. I hope you have noticed that. And you better be careful who you're sending your money to. This is one of the reasons why GCA, we encourage our members, if you want to support an outside ministry, we encourage you to give it through a mission fund. You see, when you give to a mission fund, none of that money is used here to do the work of GCA. It's going to go out. But how it helps you is that you know that we are able to check to make sure you're supporting something that's worthy. And every now and then we have to call somebody up and say, did you know that this ministry, and we can share the fact that this is a fake. So we encourage you, you better, instead of sending money to Tom, Dick, and Harry, send it through the assembly. You can always designate it for Tom or Dick or Harry. Amen. The Ephesian church separated themselves from false teachers. But the Ephesian church also separated themselves from false deeds. Look with me in verse number 6, Revelation chapter 2. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Who are these Nicolaitans? Have you ever wondered? Because it comes back again in another one of these letters. They talk about the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, because whatever their deeds were had spread till it became a doctrine. J.B. Smith states in his commentary that the word Nicolaitans is a compound word, Nikeo, which means to conquer, N-I-K-O-A-O, to conquer, and Eleos means laity. And so if you put the two words together, Nikeo and Laos, which comes from the Nicolaitans, you end up with the laity conquerors. He says, laity conquerors, that don't make any sense. Many scholars believe that right here in the church of Ephesus was the beginning of the distinction between the clergy and the laity. Many believe that the roots where the clergy was lording it over the laity. Who is the laity? The regular folks like you and I, the church folks. Many scholars believe that this started right here, where you suddenly had a distinction between the clergy and the laity, where suddenly the clergy became more important than the average Christian. And God says, as he writes to the church at Ephesus, he says, listen, you hate the work, the deeds of the Nicolaitans, and I also hate it. It's good to hate what God hates. That's why here at GCA, we reject the division of the church into clergy and laity. We reject it. We believe that we are all one in Christ. And that's why, no, if you're listening to me on television, I'm not preaching anything against you. I'm just telling you our stand. That's why you ain't gonna see me in a turn back collar, because I ain't no different from the man sitting on the pew. Amen. We're all one in Christ. There's no second class. There's no separate category. God has given all of us a different gift. And my gift is, God has called me to be to pastor this particular flock and to share his message and to teach his word along with the other brothers in Christ. Amen? No distinction. They were a separated church. They were a serving church. But they were also a sacrificing church. This was, from my standard and your standard, this was a good church. They were a sacrificing church. Look here in verse 3 of Revelation chapter 2. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Wow. They had suffered persecution and opposition, but had remained faithful. In about AD 65, which is about a year after Paul wrote the letter to the Ephesians, listen, Emperor Nero started torturing Christians throughout the Roman Empire. Very interesting. I remember in Ephesians chapter 4, he warned them about some of these challenges that were coming. And just a year after he was finished writing, Nero declared torture against Christians. You see, what had happened, that there was a fire in Rome. Many believe Nero set it himself. But there was a fire in Rome that raged out of control, and it destroyed 70% of the city of Rome. And the Christians were targeted for being the ones who set that fire and burned, destroying 70% of the city. And now it was open torture for Christians. Some Christians were killed at lunchtime as the attraction at the gladiator games. Just killing Christians was part of the fun. Some Christians were lit as human torches to illuminate the night. And in this tumultuous time, because it's important that you understand that the period since we ended last week and where we are today is the period during all of this drama, all of this torture, all of this persecution. And listen, Ephesus was right in the center of it all. In fact, the church father, Ignatius, called Ephesus the highway of martyrs. The highway of martyrs. Why? Because the empire, more often than not, that those who are being martyred would be paraded through Ephesus. They would be passed through Ephesus on their way to be murdered. Can you imagine what that must have done to the Christians in Ephesus? Can you imagine when a whole city has gathered together to kill Christians? Can you imagine how a Christian must feel? Because the whole society is against Christians. We want the Christians. Can you imagine the persecution and the pressure that the average Christian in Ephesus must have felt? And as God speaks to the church at Ephesus, he says, I know what you have gone through. I know all the drama you have experienced in this tumultuous time. And you have persevered. You have stayed faithful to me. I know. Man, this is an impressive church, humanly speaking. If I were a member, if you were a member of that church, how would you feel about your church? We're serving. We're separated. And we are suffering for the cause of Jesus Christ. And they would do a survey in the neighborhood and they would select us as the church of the year. But despite all the good stuff, God had a charge against this church. And GCA, we had better listen carefully, because he may be having a charge against some of us, against us right here. Because guess what? We might say we are a serving church. I thank God that so many of our members are involved in ministry. We are certainly a serving church. We are a separated church. We have suffered some. We've gone through some drama. Nothing like what they went through, but we've had our issues. And by God's grace, we're still moving forward. Forward by faith. Amen. We have come this far by faith. Oh, that's going to be our theme for the anniversary next week. We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord. And so, what have I said? The commendation, but secondly, we got to look at the charge. Despite all this good stuff, the Lord was angry because there was one fatal flaw. My brother and sister, we need to listen very good. Because you may have 1,500 things right in your Christian life. But if you have this one fatal flaw, it doesn't matter about the 1,500 things that you have right. They had one fatal flaw. The only thing that was missing, listen, stay with me now, don't go, was what the Lord values the most. The thing that was missing was the thing that the Lord values the most. He loves the fact that we serve. He loves the fact that we are separated. He loves the fact that we're willing to sacrifice. But what he's about to talk about is the thing he values the most. Verse number 4. Nevertheless, I have this one thing against you: you have left your first love. I have just one thing. This is such a big deal. Let me run ahead of myself. This is such a big deal. The Lord says, if you don't fix it, I'm going to shut the church down. Are you listening? If you don't fix this, he says, I'm going to remove your candlestick. I'm going to shut the church down as a witness for me. I'm going to shut it down because, yes, you're doing all this. Put this down in your notes. They had left their first love. Listen, write it down. What the Lord desires most is that we love him with all our heart and that we love our neighbors as ourselves.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.